1 Kings chapter 17. And this is a lesson that I have taught before in our class with the younger youth before. And it's one that's always encouraging. I don't think you can read this chapter without being encouraged and seeing how much God cares for those who are in need and also for those who are obedient. We want to begin this evening by noticing the importance of obedience and faith in God. I think as you look at 1 Kings 17, you'll see both of those, obedience and faith in God. In 1 Kings 17, we find that there is a drought in the land. We'll begin in verse 1 and really work our way through much of the chapter this evening. But beginning in verse 1, we find there is a drought in the land in 1 Kings 17. Here the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" It's interesting to me that the text bears out not that there's just going to be no rain, but also no dew. We have gone out before in the mornings and see a heavy dew. You think sometimes, well, did it rain because it's so thick and so much water? Sometimes lawn care services and those who wish to mow early in the morning have to wait because of the heavy dew that sometimes is on the grass. But here, that also is included in the drought. There will be none of that during, now notice, these years without water. Verse 2 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Chinnereth, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded that the ravens to feed you there.'" And you'll notice as we go through chapter 17, it's filled with miraculous events. Ravens are not known for feeding people, but that's what happens in chapter 17. It's interesting that during this drought, this very difficult time, that not only does he have water in verse 4, but also the ravens are going to feed him. This reminds me of the other text in the Old Testament where God feeds his people, such as the people of Israel. We know he fed them with manna from heaven, literally food from heaven. And here, the ravens are feeding this man of God, Elijah. Where do you think their food was from? Was provided by God. And so both of these things are miraculous in nature. Because it is a drought, you would think the brook would dry up, and we know in a moment that it will. But the food did not stop. The ravens did not stop coming. Verse 5, "So he went and did according to the word of the Lord." What did he do? He obeyed. "For he went and stayed by the brook Chinnereth, which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening." Was he well taken care of? You know, you think about this, for a raven to bring you bread and meat, there's going to probably take several of them to do so, to bring anything that's going to satisfy your hunger. And they do this twice a day, not just with bread, but bread and meat coming to Elijah. "And he drank," the Bible says in verse 6, "from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Now we'll notice in verses 7 and 8, the drought caused Elijah to be sent to the widow's house. The Lord commands him to go, as we'll see in a moment. "It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying," as we'll see in verse 8 and 9, "that he would go to the widow's house." Now what we're going to see beginning in verse 8 of chapter 17 is miraculous events after miraculous events. Continue on over and over again throughout 1 Kings 17. The feeding by the ravens, not just with bread, but with bread and meat. Not just once a day, but twice a day. He had water. He was taken care of by God. And when the brook dried up, God didn't allow him to stay there and to thirst. He caused him to move somewhere else. Now beginning in verse 8, what I call here Elijah's request. And considering the situation that's going on, this drought, it's a very large request that he makes. But let's continue reading. Pick up in verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." What has God done for Elijah in verse 9? He's taken care of him. He's told Elijah before he's ever gone to meet the widow that she is going to what? He says, "There, have commanded a widow there to provide for you." God's taking care of his servant. This is a continual event that happens throughout 1 Kings 17. God continues to take care of his faithful servant in the midst of a drought and very, very difficult times. And God chooses a widow to provide for Elijah. As we continue reading verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks." You notice in verse 9, or verse 10 rather, what is he doing? He's obeying once again. Obedience, faithfulness, provisions, all found within 1 Kings 17. When you obey God and have faith in God, the logical end event is that God's going to take care of you. He obeyed at the brook. God took care of him in a very miraculous way. He is obeying now, going to the widow. And we'll see he again is going to take care of Elijah. Now keep in mind, they're in the midst of a drought. There hasn't been and there would not be rain for years. And we find here in verse 10, he finds a widow there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." Now, water in the midst of a drought is a very huge expense, you might say, to sacrifice that. It's like being out in the woods somewhere and someone asks for water while their canteen is empty. Well, your canteen's only going to hold so much, isn't it? So after a while, yours is going to go empty as well. Well, here now in this drought, sooner or later, she is going to run out of water. But that's what Elijah requests from her in verse 10. But that's not all he does. Verse 11, "And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, 'Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.'" Now that's asking a lot in the midst of a drought. Bring me some water. And while she's walking off, "Oh, by the way, bring me some bread too." You think, has this guy lost his mind? He's asking for water and bread. Now we'll see in a moment that this woman was expecting fully to die very soon because they had pretty much nothing left. But Elijah, I think, as you think about this today, looking back and having read this before and seen know what's going to take place, he is showing by his request his full faith in God. Because in order to provide for Elijah, God would have to also provide for the widow, wouldn't he? Because you notice, as he saw just a moment ago, who was it that's going to take care of Elijah? It's the widow. So if you're going to take care of Elijah, you got to take care of the widow. And he does just that. And so she is gathering sticks. He asked for water in verse 10. Now in verse 11, he asked for a morsel of bread. And no doubt, again, a very large request. And God chose this widow who believed that she was facing the end in verse 12. So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." She's saying, when she says this phrase, "As the Lord your God lives," is the idea of saying, "I swear to the Lord that I have no bread." She has nothing to give him. She says in verse 12, "I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar." That's all that she has. Now, he's already requested water. You think she has very much water? Probably not. And so, but this is his request. We saw in verse 11, and she says, "I only have a little bit of flour, a handful of flour, it's not very much, a little oil in a jar, and see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I might go in and prepare it for myself and my son." She's saying, "I'm getting ready to make our final meal. We don't have any bread." She says that we may eat it and die. She expected to not survive the drought. But different things happen when you have a man of God sent to you by God. For example, we'll see some miraculous things taking place again now, beginning in verse 13 and following. We have what we call Elijah's reassurance to the widow. During a drought, the last thing you want to do is to run out of food or water, or especially both, because it's going to be hard to get it from somewhere else or from anyone else. Because during a drought, of course, everyone's in the same boat. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first." That sounds bold, doesn't it? Don't fear, but go make me something first. "And bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son." Now, if she only has a handful of flour and a little bit of oil in a jar, it's very likely that's going to take everything to make him this small cake. And that's what he's requesting, though. Take care of me first. Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do as I have said. Make me something first, and then go feed yourself and your son. Now, this would take a great deal of faith in God. And as we continue reading in verse 14, this is why Elijah said what he did in verse 13. "For thus says the Lord God of Israel," meaning this is what God has said, "the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." He's telling her, God's going to give you flour and oil until the rain returns. But what? First, we saw in verse 13, "You better make me a cake first." That's not greediness. He's saying it's a sign of faith in God and a sign that she believes what he has told her in verse 14. You take care of Elijah, God's going to see your obedience to his servant and his faith in God, your faith in God, and what's going to happen. He says, "The flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry." Now today we say, well, that'd be a tremendous blessing. They reach in the flour bin, there's always flour there. They reach for the oil, there's always oil there. They're never going to run out. We know what it's like to begin to make something, realize you don't have it. You have to make last minute trips to the store sometimes in the evening because you maybe don't have the eggs, don't have the oil, don't have whatever it may be. Here for the widow, that's not the case. It's always going to be there if she will have faith in God. In verse 15, we have the provision provided here. "So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah," which we also will be according to the word of the Lord. And he and her household ate for many days. Now, the she, he, and her household is who? The widow, Elijah, her household, include her son. They ate for many days. That is, the Lord provided for them day after day after day after day. The flour kept coming, the oil didn't run out, and they were able to survive during this drought. The Bible says in verse 16, "The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah." God was what? He is a keeper of promises. He promised her through Elijah, the flour is not going to stop, the oil is not going to dry up. Just do as you have been commanded and have faith that it will not run out. And what happened? Well, we see in verse 16, it did not run out. But that is not all that God does for the widow through Elijah. We know from 1 Kings 17 that there was a boy, that's what he's called, the boy, that was there with her who would go through a tragedy, as sometimes we call it. So let's begin in verse 17, 1 Kings 17. "Now it happened after these things," this is after the occasion of telling her and encouraging her to not fear, the flour's not going to end, the oil's not going to end, after all those things, after she's come to believe and trust and faith in God, this happens in verse 17. "It happened after these things, the son of the woman who had owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him." Now it's interesting that after this great blessing from God, the son falls ill. You notice the Bible doesn't say that God caused this to happen, but this just is part of life. People get sick sometimes, and because they get sick, sometimes they do not recover. And we see in verse 17, that's what's happened with this boy, the son of the woman. His sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. Verse 18, the Bible says, "So she said to Elijah, 'What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?'" What is she considering when it comes to her saying, "Bring my sin to remembrance"? It seems that she believes that possibly one of the reasons her son is dead is because her sin has been brought to remembrance. And she says, "And to kill my son." She believes it's because of some sin that she has done that her son has died. You know, sometimes people begin today, even still today, to believe that because of something they've done in the past, that God is punishing them through the loss of a loved one or through the loss of their good health, whatever it may be. Sometimes we feel like God is punishing us, when in reality, that's not the case. Sometimes we have to realize that life is just hard and things happen. We see in verse 18, she says, "Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" This is why you're here, to bring my sin before me and to cause my son to die. Well, that's not the case at all. Verse 19, the Bible says, "And he said to her, 'Give me your son.' So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge? By killing her son.'" So Elijah brings that same plea before God. He takes the son, goes upstairs, lays him on his bed, and prays to God and saying, "Is this really what's happening? Are you going to kill this widow's son with whom I lodge?" Verse 21, the Bible says, "And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, I pray that this child's soul come back to him.'" Stretched himself out. Give me the idea that he laid himself beside the child three different times, and then got up and prayed and did it again three different times. And cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray that this child's soul come back to him." Elijah was a very faithful man in God. He was not a perfect man, because we see in verse 20 he himself was unsure what's happening. "God, are you really going to kill this poor widow's son? You brought me here to be provided by her, for her to take care of me, to lodge with her, and her son is dying." And now in verse 21, he cries out to God in prayer and asks him to let this child's soul come back to him. Well, verse 22, we know the Lord hears prayers. That's why we titled this section, "The Raising of the Boy," and also "The Triumph." Beginning in verse 22, "Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah." Heard doesn't mean he just heard his prayer, but he might say he is going to respond to his prayer, and he does. "He heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived." What did God do? He heard Elijah's plea, and he decided it was according to his will. And what happens? The boy is revived. Why? Because God hears the prayers of the faithful, and sometimes he answers them, as we hope that he will. In this case, in the reviving of the child, he does revive the child. Verse 23, "And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, your son lives.'" What do you think the widow is possibly thinking at this point? Obviously, Elijah was not brought there to bring some sin to remembrance and cause her son to die. But instead, her faith is going to grow more and more through these miraculous acts. By the food not running out, by her sickly child being revived and brought back from the dead, she's going to have a stronger faith in God, isn't she? Anytime, like we mentioned this morning, when we go through difficulties and when we endure through it, We become a stronger Christian, and our faith grows in God. And no doubt the same would happen here with the widow. Verse 24, we have, we might call, the testimony of the widow. Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." She is convinced, if she wasn't before, how can it be before when the flour keeps coming back and the oil keeps coming back? But now her son has died, he is revived, and she says to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God." Why is that? Because no one could revive someone from the grave unless they are from God. You know, perhaps she thought the flour and the oil was a trick by Elijah, that he was sneaking in, who knows. But here in verse 24, her case, her belief in Elijah as a son, as a messenger of God, comes full circle. She believes without a doubt, it seems in verse 24, that he is a man of God. She says in verse 24, "Now by this," that is the raising of her son, "I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." And so she says, not only are you a man of God, but what you have said, the word of the Lord, which you have been speaking, it is truth. It is right. It is good. And so because of God responding to Elijah's prayer, the miraculous revival, God knew, the widow knew that Elijah was a man of God. Well, let's think about some lessons for us today. God takes care of the faithful. No matter what comes our way, God's going to provide for us. We saw that in verse 16. You remember the provision that was about the oil and the flour? That's what was supposed to be on the screen there. The oil and the flour did not run out. God took care of the widow because she obeyed at Elijah's command. And she went and made him the cake and brought him the water. And what happened? The flour and the oil, they kept on coming back. God takes care of the faithful. And we have to also remember that sometimes help will come in our darkest hour, when things seem the most grave. And that seems to be the case when Elijah came to the widow's house. The story begins with the widow and the boy going to make their final meal. 1 Kings 17, verse 12. "I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in, prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Her darkest hour, wouldn't you say? She believed, we're about to have our final meal, and here you are asking for water and for bread. Her darkest hour. They were prepared to die, however, only until God and His servant intervened, because we saw in verse 14, "The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." God provided for the widow, for her son, and also for Elijah. Today, when things seem the most dark, like there is no way to overcome, we must remember God is always there. No matter what difficulty we may be facing, like the widow, she was convinced that they were about to die. They reached the end of their life, until she met a man from God. We too today can have such things happen to us when we open up our Bibles and we read and see that God is still there. We just need to pray to Him more often and be more faithful to Him. We must remember that with God, all things are possible. Nothing is too hard for God. We think about all the situations in which people have found themselves in within the Bible itself. Armies being surrounded, being outnumbered, thousands to a few hundred, and God's people conquered with a great victory. We think about the widow in the middle of a drought, her and her son. In reality, if it wasn't for Elijah, they would have died. If she was preparing her final meal, she would have died if it wasn't for Elijah coming along. Her son should have died from the sickness until Elijah, a man of God, came along. And so we see that things may be going one way until God intervenes and leads us down a different path out of, you might say sometimes, from harm's way. And of course, we do not mean today this happens in some miraculous sense. That's not what we're talking about at all. But we have to remember that we have faith in God. We can overcome, we can endure any hardship, and God will take care of us so long as we cling to Him. This evening, as you think about these things, we know the Bible tells us how we can have eternal life with God. We know we must hear the Word of God. We know we must repent of our sins, confess that Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in baptism so our sins are washed away. At the same time, we're placed in the body of Christ, and then we also must remain faithful to God. And the widow, being in the Old Testament, seemed to find that Elijah was a man of God, and she was convinced that the Lord's words were indeed truth, as we saw in verse 24. And we know today God's word is indeed still truth today. This evening, as you think about these things, we can help you or encourage you anyway. You can come forward now. Let's get up. We stand and sing the song that's been selected.